Amen. We are thankful and grateful to the Lord this morning for another opportunity to be on his program. Amen. Amen. Thank God for our president.
Yes.
Amen. And all of the cabinet, which I am a part, and to our chairman of devotion, our pulpit chairman and our institute chairman. Amen. Thank God for them and all that are present. Amen. All that are present. There's some handouts there. If you have not got one, I want to talk on a little subject this morning in sermon preparation. The window of illustration.
The window
of illustration. I'm anchoring a little bit just for sake. In Genesis 6 and 16, where Moses is told in the building of the ark, a window thou shalt make unto the ark. And he says that to every sermon building preacher. As he said it to Noah, you need to make a window. You need to make a window. Amen. When we read the words of the Lord in the Gospels, we see that he is a master illustrator. I used the wrong article. He's not a master illustrator. He's the master illustrator. In his famous Sermon on the Mount, who can forget him talking about that city sat on a hill that cannot be hid? To the people in that day, immediately you thought of the wayfarer who was traveling along the way, and there in the distance, in the night view, is a bright light that he cannot ignore. And in Jesus' words, he paints that picture for those that are listening to this particular sermon. And not only in the Gospels, not only Jesus, but in fact, the whole Bible is full of ornate language. Ornate language, starting way back in Genesis. In verse 4 and 7, chapter 4, verse 7, we see the picture of sin is painted as crouching at the door because of Cain's anger, waiting to arrest Cain, to take control of him, to pounce on him. What a picture. Or perhaps you certainly remember Psalms 1. They are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. May not mean much to us today to just hear that. But to the person that was listening on that day to the psalmist, it was in his mind. He saw the thrasher in the thrashing floor, working with the winnowing fork, throwing the wheat up in the air and allowing the wind to discern between the wheat and the chaff. Listen, the intent of metaphorical language is to turn the steep intellectual climb into a sliding board of simplicity. Sliding board of simplicity. It perhaps in some sense helps our audience to back into comprehension and understanding. You presented your argument, preacher. And yet there remains a bit of a haze that nothing can clear like a well-placed illustration. Thomas Fuller says, reasons are the pillars that make up the fabric of a sermon, but illustrations are the windows that give the best light. A window lets light in. Or lets one look out. Either way, a window is to facilitate sight. I remember when I was in class, in sermon class, and our professors would grade our manuscripts and critique them. And every now and then, in certain places, he would write, "You need to put some C here." That S-E-E. "You need to put some C here." In other words, he meant you need to add an illustration in order to help people to see what you're talking about better. If you put only one illustration in a sermon of length, it is to the audience like an oasis in the desert. It's a break from the monotony of endless explanation. I'm not saying you ought to put only one illustration in a sermon. Rather, I'm saying like the vision of Ezekiel in chapter 34. You ought to put enough windows in that's suitable to the size of the temple. You ought to use enough. An illustration opens the curtain windows, the window curtains rather, to illuminate a dark room. And used properly, illustrations will ease your effort and shorten your discourse. Yes, it will. Now, I have a warning here. Because over-illustration is as bad as under-illustration. I've seen some preachers that they love illustration so much. Whole sermon was full of illustration. One sermon was made of an entire illustration. Illustrations are by nature weak to build a message on. Windows are the weakest part of your house. As useful as they are, they are the weakest part of your house. Don't build a sermon on an illustration. There must be a balance between illustration and augmentation. Must be a balance between augmentation and illustration. Now, full disclosure, I struggle. Uri Solomon, I struggle with illustrations. I really do. I struggle with them. That's not something that will come easy to me. Now, doctrine, man, doctrine flows like water. And I'm an audible learner by style. So it's easy for me to put whatever is said into the machine of logic. And that comes easy for me. But illustrations, I'm not Tony Evans. Tony is a great illustrator. I have another friend named Rundy Long. And Rundy, boy, he can make an illustration out of anything. Anything. The illustrations just come to some guys. Man, they just got that gift. But one thing I don't like is I don't like overused illustrations. The one that you hear all the time, everywhere. Because illustrations are everywhere. Because it doesn't come easy to me. I just believe that if something doesn't come easy for you, that's the stuff you need to work the hardest at. And so I work hard. I'm always looking for illustrations. I'm on my way to my seat. But I remember one day, my son, he wasn't a college kid like he is today. He was a toddler. And we were getting ready for his christening service, his blessing service. And we had dressed him up in his white, and his godparents were in from California, and we were ready for that service. And me and my wife went to get ready because we had dressed him up in all of his white, and then we went looking for him. And you know where we found him at? Playing in the toilet. I said to myself, that's just the way Christians are. That's why the Holy Spirit is grieved. Because he clean us up. And dress us up. And there we go playing in the toilet. I'm not just trying to say illustrations are everywhere. I was riding down the street and it was pouring down rain. And as it was, I began to look at how the water ran off the windshield. And I said to myself, oh, that's what Jesus means when he said, forgive 70 times 7. That offenses to the mature Christian, offenses should run off of you like rain runs off of a windshield. Listen, beloved, listen. Put whatever you want in the house. Put the carpet and the flooring in. Put the furniture in. Put beautiful cabinetry in. Can't nobody see your stuff till you let some light in. Listen.
Whoa. Ooh, glasses. Watch it, Uncle Love. Watch it. Yeah.